Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more. Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1. Listen back on the RTÉ Radio app.
A very important conversation now, because today marks the start of Grief Awareness Week, and new research commissioned by the Irish Hospice Foundation gives an insight into Irish attitudes to death and grieving. It reveals that only 3 in 10 or 30% of people in Ireland believe there are enough supports available for those who have experienced loss. To discuss this research and what it reveals about our attitudes to death and grieving, I'm joined in studio by Amanda Roberts, who's National Bereavement Development Manager at the Irish Hospice Foundation. Amanda, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks so much for having me.
They say, whoever they is, we do deaths and funerals and grieving and so on very well in this country. But what is this research telling us?
I suppose, just to let you know, that I suppose the Irish Hospice Foundation, they're a national charity dedicated to addressing death, dying, and bereavement in Ireland. I suppose our vision is that we, everyone in Ireland gets the care and support they need whenever they need it. And so as part of our work is informed by research. So I suppose I work in the bereavement team. So part of our National Grief Awareness Week has been informed partly by the research. Mm-hmm. And I suppose one of the key things that informed this particular campaign is exactly what you said. About 3 in 10 people in Ireland feel that there's enough supports for people who are bereaved in Ireland. And another interesting one is 1 in 2 actually struggle to know what to say to someone who's bereaved. And then 3 in 4 of us believe that family and friends are really important around grieving. And I suppose we use that research to inform what we do. So the National Grief Awareness Campaign that kicks off today actually is around creating awareness around grief, creating that space and opportunity to kind of engage with people, and suppose giving people an opportunity to find out around, well, how does grief affect us?
Yeah.
What can help us? How we can help others? And also as well, if you're looking for some support outside of family and friends, how do you find out about it?
Yeah.
So all those key things that people kind of look to know about, that's what we're trying to do partly in this campaign this week.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Because it's so important in people's lives. Can I ask you about some of the strands that you mentioned there?
Away.
People don't know what to say to somebody who's lost a loved one. What do you say?
Do you know what? People kind of think there must be some magic pill or magic word, and there isn't anything. And most people, all they want is an acknowledgement. And you can do this in lots of different ways, whether it is saying, I'm really sorry to hear about your mom, or sending a text, or send a little postcard. As part of our campaign, we've actually developed a little postcard that has on the front, thinking of you, and then you can post it to someone. And it doesn't matter whether it's been a recent loss or a loss from years and years ago. Do you know, just because you mentioned them, they're thinking about them anyway. Do you know, so you're not bringing it up for them. I suppose you don't mention it to someone if they're going into a half an hour meeting where they're going to be speaking.
Isn't that what people say? I didn't say anything because I didn't want to upset you.
Yeah. You know? And a lot of people, do you ever get that thing where you're walking down the road and someone sees you in the corner, right, and they cross the road, and it's not to be mean or malicious, it's like they just don't know what to say, and they are terrified of saying the wrong thing and making someone cry.
The 3 out of 4 people say family and friends being around when you've lost someone is key, and that is no surprise at all, is it?
And what we find as well in other research is, for the most part, people get the support they need from family and friends, and just for lots of different factors and reasons, people need that support outside family and friends. And what we try to say to people, a lot of our messages is targeted at the public, to say, look, ask people what they want. Offer practical probably support. You know, things like sometimes a mom might not want to go to the school to pick up her kids because her mom had just died and she just can't face people. You might kind of say, look, do you want me to pick up the kids for this week for you? Do you know, just offer practical things that you would normally kind of do for someone in a certain circumstance.
And also, I just wonder how important tone is as well, because everybody moves quickly through life, don't they? How are you really isn't a how are you question. No. It's kind of a greeting.
Grand.
It's a hello.
Grand is the Irish thing, isn't it?
Whereas sometimes when somebody softens a tone and is actually compassionate and curious about how the person is, it makes such a difference.
Definitely. And like what we say is our big two key things is acknowledgement and compassion. That's what people need.
Yeah. And do you know, it's very interesting at an Irish funeral. They say, and I mentioned this at the start, that the Irish do death well, or funerals well. There's music, there's congregation, and there's sharing of stories. And of course, there's the odd jar as well when you're mourning. And then the funny stories come out.
Yeah.
But it goes to show that people deal with grief and deal with loss in different ways.
They do. I suppose my father-in-law used to love a good funeral over a wedding. I suppose you get to learn... I suppose it's the stories and the family members possibly hearing a story about their loved one that they never heard before. So it's all that a kind of exchange and kind of celebration of the death. But I suppose one of the things that people do find is, look, people are great in the early days, but maybe it's the weeks and months down the road where they might be kind of struggling a little bit, that they would like that call or would like that.
And that's why the supports are needed. Yeah, are we good in terms of supports for people in this country you've suffered grief?
I suppose what the research is telling us that one in two people struggle to know what to say. So part of our work is around creating, what can you do? It's that acknowledgement piece. It's that offering of help. It's kind of minding yourself if you're supporting someone who's bereaved. And then also if you're bereaved yourself, it's kind of those messages. Look, feel and react the way that feels right for you. And it's minding yourself, whether it's the looking after yourself, eating, sleep, all that sort of key messages that you kind of want to get out to the public. And then, do you know what? Some people need that support outside of family and friends. Mm-hmm. And that's what's great about the National Bereavement Support Line, because that line is there to kind of ring up and gives you that space if you'd like to talk to someone outside your family. But also it's great if you say, look, I'd love to meet someone who's experienced a similar death to me. Maybe it's been a miscarriage. So you might ask the Bereavement Support Line, is there anything in my area where people meet who have experienced a miscarriage?
Do people find that beneficial?
Some people do. Do you know, like, it's like everything. Some people prefer to speak in a group. Some people prefer to speak one-to-one. And interesting enough, after COVID, a lot of the supports went online. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the services have kept an element of their service online, because for some people, geographically, it's better. And for some, actually, they'd rather engage online than in person.
Can I ask you one final question, which might seem a little bit strange, and I really hope it doesn't come across in any way harsh.
Yeah.
Can some people become, if it's for a protracted period of time, become almost stuck in grief or get addicted to the grief and they don't know how to stop? Is that a factor at all?
It is. I think sometimes when people find, I suppose, the pattern of grief is it comes and goes. It's not something that, you know, kind of a slant and goes down and goes away. It's something that comes and goes. And what we find is the intensity of those feelings gradually reduce over time, and how often those feelings come gradually over time. But what we have are these grief bursts where it comes back at us, like you might smell a perfume that your mom had, or you might meet someone that knew your dad, and it comes back at you. But when you find that intensity is not increasing and that it's happening, that frequency isn't decreasing, that's when you kind of go, okay, I might need to reach out and just see if I need some support. And you might ring the Bereavement Support Line, you might ring your local GP, but it's that thing, reaching out and get a sense, look, I feel like I need some support. What do you think?
Yeah, well, look, it's a fascinating bit of research and it's an extremely important service that you provide. Amanda Roberts, National Bereavement Development Manager at the Irish Hospice Foundation, and more information on your website, I'm sure. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme.